Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. Which one is it? This show is getting off to a
you've gone
great
your
start.
Own show.
I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. There we go.
No gong.
And of course, this is Comic Book Chronicles. I'm with PCN underscore dirt from popculturenetwork.com. Follow him on his Twitter at PCN underscore dirt.
I get no applause or trumpets? Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
And I'm working the sound effects tonight because our other co-host, what's he calling himself?
Agent 70.
Is not with us, and neither is Roddy Cat. So we're doing the two-man weave tonight. But we're going to make this work, and I get to work the sound effects. There we go. Ominous. For those who can't see what we're doing, so Google Hangouts has these little sound effect buttons you can click to, of course, make the noises you hear on our episodes. And, of course, it's the first time I'm working them, so trying to get familiar with them. You think seeing clapping hands would be a clap sound like this, and trumpet would be...
Makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. Go to the website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Oh, and also, I need to start saying this at the beginning of each show. If you ever want to tune in live, we're live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, except for tonight when we're live at 9:30. So try to join us some night. You can find the links for the episodes before they go up at theclicknation.com. And make sure to like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. We're on Google Plus, search for theclicknation, and also join the community. Just search for D-Click Nation Community. YouTube.com/D-Click Nation. On iTunes and Stitcher Radio, just search for D-Click Nation, and the feed shows up under there for now until I create its own podcast feed. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to D-Click Nation@gmail.com. So first segment, as usual, will be comic book news from comics and entertainment, which there was a lot of today, actually. Well, entertainment news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Comic book news, nah, not so much. But we'll start on a sadder note. Artist Nick Carty, who is a legendary Teen Titans artist, passed away at the age of 93 this week. He was a Will Eisner Hall of Famer. And, of course, he was before my time, so I didn't read too many or any of his books at all. But after seeing people post images of some of his artwork, I realized, okay, I've seen his stuff before.
I think he did a bunch of Aquaman stuff, didn't he?
Teen Titans is the only one I saw people like definitely, you know, post. He was a Teen Titans artist. He probably did Aquaman, too, but... Our condolences go out to his family and friends and everyone who knew him. Let's see. Skip some of this news. Oh, well, last week we announced how DC Comics was moving their New York offices to L.A. Or is Burbank considered L.A.?
Or I have California? No idea.
Yeah, California. No. But Diane Nelson said that they're making a move for creative collaboration. So there's that. CW and DC are developing an Hourman drama.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I mean, of all the characters from DC to get a TV show, they're picking Hourman? Like, that just seems so completely random.
Are you familiar with Hourman?
The classic one from Justice Society, like, way back when. He was a Golden Age character, and he had like these superpowered pills, and he would pop one of the pills and he had super strength for like an hour, and then after an hour it'd wear out. So that's why he was called Hour Man. When they did the whole Justice League, you know, shift in the Silver Age, he was one of those guys who disappeared for a while, and then when they did the time travel and Earth 1, Earth 2, and everything, he was part of the Justice Society set in World War II on Earth 2. But, I mean, beyond the Justice League, Justice Society crossover stuff, I don't really know. I haven't followed anything, you know, in the modern era with him, but I read a lot of that Silver Age stuff that had him.
Okay. And I know I'm not going to open the link that I had saved with the article, but going off the top off of my memory, I know they mentioned that there was like two, like you said, two versions of Hour Man, the, I guess, classic one and another, I guess, was it his son? I know DC likes their legacy heroes, but the premise for one of them about the guy that can, you know, if he can see an hour into the future and then tries to stop the whatever bad things he sees happen occur, I could see that being like a CSI type drama, more on CBS than CW.
Is that the version they're going with?
No, that's just what the website I was reading was speculating. Yeah, no one really knows. So we shall have to wait and see.
Oh, wait a minute here. I'm reading something here. There are three different versions.
Oh, okay.
Rex Tyler, Richard Tyler, and Matthew Tyler. Let's see. Looks like Rex Tyler was the original guy. Rick Tyler took over the Hour Man mantle during Crisis on Infinite Earths, took the pills to help him become strong. And Matthew Tyler is an android from the 853rd century. Huh.
Future.
Weird.
Yeah. So right now it's in the rumor stage. It's not confirmed. Dorkikus tweets at us. He says, "Our man might be an issue, a pill popping superhero."
Ooh. Well, unless they're like going to make a statement.
I can't see CW making a statement. And more than likely, Our Man will be like the teenage or young 20s variety.
I could see them doing a storyline where, like, the father was a superhero and the son never knew until, like, the day he died, and then found out that he had some secret artifact that would make him strong for an hour, and then, you know, that's the CW hook.
Yeah. That sounds exactly like something they would do. Okay. And let's see. Marvel revealed that there's going to be a new Miss Marvel, and her name is Kamala Khan, and she's a Muslim. And the basis of it is she's a fan of the current Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. And once she realizes she has superpowers, which are shape-shifting abilities and perhaps more, she decides to honor her idol and take up the mantle of Miss Marvel. And that will be coming out in February.
Dork Geek has just tweeted that the Hour Man who can see into the future was the robot from the future, and he died saving the original. So there you go.
Ah.
From the 853rd century, to be exact.
Yeah, he did kind of look robotic, the images I remember seeing of him now. Because I didn't realize he was in the JSA until you just said that earlier. Mm. DC is, of course, isn't my specialty. But any Miss Marvel thoughts? Or just wait and see?
I'd be surprised if it goes more than 17 issues. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where I don't care about the hook. You know what I mean? If the hook is that it's a Muslim character, then who cares? You know what I mean? So just kind of whatever.
I could see it get in 12.
I'm not going to, like, boycott the Muslim superhero or anything like that, you know. But
you're not going to
really
rip it up. You're not going to rip the book up.
No, I won't rip it and throw it on the counter or anything like that. But I mean, what it really comes down to is I just don't care. So,
and
I mean, that's kind of worse, you know.
Let me open this up so I can see who the creative team is, because I don't remember it. It's like G. Willow Williams or something. The writer is I think Muslim also, or Pakistani. Mm. Let me get it right before I offend somebody. As I wait for the page to load.
Stupid video chat eating up all your bandwidth.
It is. And you know what? I did the whole spiel at the beginning. I didn't even use the sound effects. I just realized. The writer is G. Willow Wilson.
No idea.
Yeah, I've never heard of her either, but apparently she is a writer. Oh, obviously she's a writer, but she's done previous works.
I mean, I guess when it comes out, it's like read the first one and just see. But like when they introduced the Green Lantern, like that just, to me, that didn't work for me at all. Because, I mean, he's a guy who was a criminal. He was a car thief, you know. His mask is a, you know, like it looks like a ski mask. He carries a gun. I mean, it's just, it was stupid. I think the problem was, like, that one took the stereotype too much and tried to, like, force it into a Green Lantern character. So we'll see how this one goes. I mean, if it's one of those things where the fact that she's a Muslim, like, barely ever comes up, you know, it's just like that's her name and that's her neighborhood, then fine, you know. I mean, who cares? You know, as long as there's a good story there, who cares?
Yeah. I'll wait. I'm sure it'll be in the review pile, because Marvel likes to do that with number one issues, especially ones they want to promote. And Dork Geeka says, Ms. Marvel has Adrian Alfana as the artist, so I'm down, and the writer is a convert to Islam. And I do want to point out Kamala Khan, the new Miss Marvel, she's Pakistani American. Don't want to just keep saying she's Muslim. So yeah, we'll wait and see. February will be here before you know it, and I'm sure I'll probably try to review it on theclicknation.com. Okay, so now the big news for today. Actually, I'll get to the smaller news before I get to the big news. So we know that Uncanny X-Force and Cable and X-Force are crossing over. I forget what the crossover is called. Vengeance or something like that. I forget whatever one word phrase they're using for the crossover. But once that ends, as the solicit said, there's only going to be one X-Force left. And now we got confirmation that both books will be ending, and I guess just single title X-Force will take its place in February. And it is going to be written by Cy Spurrier, who is the current writer on the soon-to-be-canceled X-Men Legacy, and Rocky Kim, I think the artist's name is. And I know he did a fill-in issue of Scarlet Spider recently where it was an issue of Scarlet Spider where he was finding the what's the little green guy that I keep wanting to, not Goblin, the guy that does the cloning.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. I can't think of the name.
I can't spit his name out. I keep seeing a green guy, furry guy.
He looks like a gremlin.
Yeah, I want to call him the gremlin. Kikas will tell us, but that guy. He filled in an issue where Scarlet Spider took him on. So, you know, Scarlet Spider and someone else, another hero was in it that I can't remember. But anyway, Venom. I think it might have been Venom when they had a cool crossover.
So it definitely made an impact on you.
Well, I remember
I can't remember his name, and some hero I can't remember who it was.
We read many books, my friend. But I remember I did like his art. His art was pretty good. It was more of like a painted style, and the colors were nice. And so I'm sure he'll just do like the first three issues, and it'll be somebody else on the book after that. But yeah, I can't say I'm looking forward to it, because I was enjoying Cable and X-Force. and Uncanny X-Force actually wasn't too much of a fan of. But this Almage team is going to consist of, at least right now, there's four announced characters of Cable, Psylocke, Phantom X, and Marrow. And, of course, others will be coming in and out. And the book's going to be more of a espionage, Jason Bourne-type book.
Really?
That's what they said in the announcement.
The Jackal. Your gremlin Jackal. Is the Jackal.
Yeah. I never would have said Jackal. I never would have got to that animal.
Thanks to Dork Geekus.
Yep. So yeah, I was speculating that the reason for this relaunch is to get prepared for the upcoming X-Force movie whenever that comes out in like the next 2 or 3 years.
Speaking of movies, did you see the new RoboCop trailer?
I did. It was cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm more excited for that than I am for Winter Soldier.
Oh, That's close.
I'm going to take some heat for that one.
Nah, because, I mean, some people didn't like Captain America 1, so I can see people not being overly hyped for Winter Soldier. Speaking of which, Thor 2, The Dark World, is in theaters tonight. So make sure to go see that. We'll be discussing that on the next episode of Comic Book Chronicles, which will be in 2 weeks because we're taking next week off unless my host decided to do a show without me.
We'll do a bootleg episode of
Comic Book Chronicles. I challenged my co-host to do a show without me. I like to see that episode. You're used to hosting.
Yeah, but I mean, the way this show is going, it's just going to be me.
We don't have whose name usually doesn't miss episodes? Agent 70, so I'm sure he'll be available next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, just check with him and see. So yeah, I had that out in the news, actually, so glad you brought up the RoboCop trailer.
Well, it was a segue, you know? You're talking about movies, so, you know.
The transition from movies to TV, Marvel had a big announcement that they're teaming up with Netflix to release four original series. Well, I guess four solo and one mini event. And each of the four solo series has been optioned for at minimum 13 episodes. And they are Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist. And then the miniseries event will all lead to a Defenders team up. So there's that. And of course, what are our thoughts?
I was just going to say the Daredevil one I'm intrigued for, but I don't know that.
I mean, it makes sense since they're going, I mean, they're using the name Defenders instead of, well, I guess they all were Defenders, so I think they were. But they're more Heroes for Hire than Defenders.
Well,
whatever version they're going with, Defenders sounds better than Heroes for Hire.
Did they say these are animated?
They didn't say what they were. I think everyone's assuming live action.
Because my first thought is that they should be animated.
That would be kind of cool.
Because with S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, we know that they are, you know, budgetary restrictions. And if you're doing a show specifically for Netflix, I would think your budget would be a whole lot less. I'd be afraid we're going to get Daredevil, who's the guy in the black nylon suit with the half-cut face mask, you know, like the old Hulk show.
So, yeah, that's the question. The casting for these should be interesting. And before the show started, there was some some ABC or Disney exec giving an interview, and he let slip that there's another TV project coming to ABC from Marvel, which people are speculating is the Agent Carter series. But then they were also saying that just because these four or five projects are appearing, you know, as a sort of like a TV model on Netflix doesn't mean that they can't, you know, if the audience is there, that they couldn't be adapted for a movie also. So I guess sort of just wait to see what the response is and take it from there. So we have to see if it's live action or animated, if it's live, who's going to, you know, the casting for it. And Netflix is good, is cool. Like, are they going to do it like how they did House of Cards and Arrested Development, where here's all 13 episodes at once for you to watch?
Yeah, I would think they would have to, because that was kind of the point that the president of Netflix made when he started talking about these shows that they were producing, like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, Arrested Development, all that stuff, where they say that, you know, the whole season gets dropped at one time because that's how people are used to watching TV, you know, because they buy the DVD or they watch it on Netflix or whatever, and they just consume the entire series. And it's kind of like the way that they're trying to change episodic television is, instead of tuning in every week, it's like you get this drop of all the episodes at one time. So I would assume that that's what they would have to do. But I'm still – I mean, if it's live action, I would almost think they'd have to be like webisodes, like 13 minutes long or something like that. I just can't see them doing a full-budget half-hour – series with all these different superheroes. It just seems like
I could see 30 minutes more than an hour long shows. How long is House of Cards? I don't have Netflix.
I don't know. I've never watched it.
Oh, okay.
I have Netflix, but I just did. I don't know. Didn't appeal to me.
If you have Netflix and have watched House of Cards, let us know how long the episode.
Although
were.
Arrested Development was,
I mean, that was the regular, it was on TV, it was 30. I don't know what the.
Yeah, well, when they did it on Netflix, I think they kind of varied. Sure. Like, some were 23 and some were 30. It just kind of depended on how that episode, you know, edited out, since they didn't have to break it for commercials or fit it into an exact time slot. They just kind of did it. Mm-hmm. Roddy Cat is saying that the Marvel Netflix deal is live action, that it's not animated, it is live.
Okay.
Yikes. So there,
yeah. Just, there was another point I was going to make about that. Let's see. Live action. Oh, when this all comes out in 2015. So we've got a year.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Plenty of time to speculate. So Stephen Amell, who plays Oliver Queen and Arrow on CW, put a picture up on Facebook of the first appearance of, or the first time Green and Arrow joined the Justice League in the comic books, trying to push Warner Brothers into letting him play Green Arrow in a Justice League movie. Get the people talking.
So do you have the guy from Smallville play Superman in the big screen movie?
If they were, I guess, if they were using that version of Superman, whoever played Clark, because he's never Superman, back then would be trying to do the same thing. The whole Marvel Netflix deal, sort of, it's interesting. Every time Marvel does something, everyone like looks at DC like, okay, what are you gonna do next? Even though lately, you know, DC was making all the news with all these Constantine and Flash and Gotham shows being announced on all these different networks, and then Marvel comes out. It seems like Marvel, well, at least like I say, at least it seems this way. It seems Marvel is more calculated with how they're putting their stuff out, even if it isn't all successful like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. At least they've put, it seems like they put thought into what projects they want to do, where.
I think part of it is that since they're owned by Disney now, and Disney owns ABC, that it's just kind of like everything has to work through that network. So everything has to be focused a little bit more, you know, because it's all in that same pipeline. Whereas with DC, you know, they're just kind of whoever wants to make a show, let's see if we can hammer out a deal, you know. Even though technically, I guess, they're part owner of CW, and that's why you have Arrow on there. It's not as if, you know, like, oh, we can't do a show with CBS, you know, or something like that.
And whoever the guy on the interview from Disney, I think it was, he was saying that they're not stuck in stone of having to put everything on a Disney platform, because I guess Hulu isn't a Disney platform. Not Hulu, but Netflix isn't a Disney property. I think Netflix is, or something like that they were saying. Like, I guess there was rumor of stuff, some of them being put on Hulu.
Hulu is, I know NBC is one of the big. NBC, I know, is a big one in Hulu.
I want to say it seems like CW is, too. They're always promoting stuff. Maybe not.
Well, although, he looks that up. I know it's a mix. Like, the whole idea was a bunch of different groups came together to put Hulu together. It looks like 20th Century Fox, Walt Disney, NBC, Newport Television, whoever that is. So it's NBC Universal, Fox Broadcasting Company, Disney ABC Television Group, and Providence Equity Partners, the owners of Newport Television.
It's like a mixture of everyone.
That's weird.
Yeah. But basically, they were saying they don't – Marvel or Disney wouldn't have a problem putting their shows on different platforms. I don't think they put many on different platforms, but they wouldn't mind spreading the pie. And finally – Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be released on December 18th, 2015. That was announced this evening. I love when stuff is announced on the day we record.
You know, and I also just read something recently that they replaced the writer, I guess, for Episode 7. And J.J. Abrams wanted to push back the release of the movie because they're, you know, still tweaking it and whatever. And they're telling him, nope. Still got to come out on time.
And supposedly, like, one of the writers wasn't listed on whatever press image thing that went out today. It might have been the guy you were just talking about.
So, great. I hope they rush one out to the theater that they didn't quite get finished with. That'd be a good time.
Yeah. So, unless you have any news you want to add, that's all I had. Oh, and Roddy Cat says, House of Cards is an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, and my brother, D. Adam Black, says, I think he just repeating what you said earlier, but Netflix has a deal with Disney coming up. Hulu has ABC, NBC, Fox, and an agreement with CW. Okay. And you said you didn't have any other news, correct?
No.
I did see something about iZombie coming to CW, some Vertigo series.
That was a Vertigo series that was canceled over a year ago. I think it went like 12 or 16 issues. It was Mike Allred, who's doing FF over at Marvel. He was doing that one.
Okay.
But the fact that it's going to TV seems really odd.
Yeah. And, you know, more CW stuff. I don't know. We forgot to talk about our TV segments of the night, recapping or reviewing Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from this week, which I can't. Arrow was awesome, I will say. Black Canary and the League of Assassins. Canary, as she's called, because they don't do colors on Arrow. No Green Arrow, no Black Canary.
But it's just Canary.
Well, she revealed herself to her dad and told her dad what her given name was, which she said it in some other language and said it like it translates to Canary. So there's no Black in the name. But after seeing this episode, I would rather a Black Canary spinoff series than Flash.
No, I'd rather see Flash.
I don't want to see Flash on TV. So part of me, I want to see him in a movie.
Well, okay, granted.
Yeah. I mean, I can deal with Arrow on the TV. Because I can see, you know, everything doesn't have to be movies. Some stuff can be just TV and some be movie. I think Daredevil worked great as just a regular hour-long TV series. What do you think? Like, you want to disagree?
I don't know that I have an opinion strongly enough. I mean,
okay.
I mean, with movies, I love, you know, I love watching that big budget, you know, spectacle and everything. But at the same time, I really don't go to the movie theater that much anymore. You know, part of it is having kids, and you know, if you're going to go out, you got to find someone to watch the kids so you can go out and do something. And it's so expensive, and it's a hassle. And the theater is like this giant, it's like a shopping mall to itself. That's just a 12 screen movie theater. You know, it's so huge, and it's way out on the far side of town. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I wait for the movie to come out and watch it at home most of the time, you know, or get it through other various means in order to watch it at home. So when it comes to something being a TV show or a movie, it's like a movie is a fun event, but I kind of like the idea of having an ongoing series that I can just, you know, sit at home and watch at my own convenience, as opposed to an event that I have to put on pants and leave the house for.
I wonder what people think. Now, I don't know what it just now dawned on me, but, you know, Luke Cage being involved in this Netflix series, you know, people have been screaming and yelling, they want Luke Cage on the big screen. So well, now they're going to have him on the small screen. And then who's going to play Luke Cage?
Buy a bigger TV.
Is he going to be dark-skinned enough? Because apparently Luke Cage has to be dark-skinned.
Hmm.
Who cares? As long as the acting's good. And Dort Kika says, iZombie had a Being Human vibe. And for those who don't know, Being Human is the new Fox show that's going to debut, I think, next week, which I need to set my TiVo for. I think it's a J.
No. That's Almost Human.
What's Being Human then?
I think Being Human was the BBC show where it was like a ghost, a werewolf, and something else that they all like. They were all roommates in this house or something. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I just remember seeing ads for it in the back of certain comics, but I never actually watched it or anything. They brought it to Sci-Fi. A werewolf, a vampire, and a ghost try to live together and try to live a normal life.
Okay, show I'm not familiar with. Hmm. Okay, I think that's...
Oh, looks like the Sci-Fi version is a different one from the BBC version. Like, they're both the same story, but Sci-Fi made their own version. Instead of just redoing the BBC one. So there you go.
There you go.
So if we learned anything from Doctor Who, it's that you can't show a British TV show in the U.S. It just won't connect with viewers.
Nope, doesn't work. Don't look to The Office. So now, time to review some books.
Oh, so now everybody can tune out.
Yeah.
News is done. Now we're just talking comics.
The boring stuff. I'll let you start. You read a Boom book this week, right?
I did read a Boom book this week. Let me get my screen share.
I think since it's only two of us here tonight, we don't have to like go down the list like naming each book from each of the big companies. You could just say, okay, what DC stuff did you read? What Marvel stuff did you read?
Considering you only read three comics this week.
And there's that too.
but yeah, from Boom, I read Suicide Risk. This is the story of the cop who gave himself superpowers to try to take on villains. And basically, what's happened in the series is that this group of supervillains has found him, and they are more or less holding him hostage and making him work for them, and they are taking over part of Mexico and making it their own country. So they're basically, you know, going to this place in Mexico where there are no superheroes and just claiming it for themselves. And so he is under duress, becoming part of this supervillain group, even though he's a police officer. So it's one of those, you know, wrong place at the wrong time. You know, he's getting stuck in with all the bad guys, and he's kind of slowly losing his connection to his old life and kind of starting to almost enjoy it. You know, it's almost like he's undercover, but he's getting caught up in it type of thing. Even though he's not undercover, they're just, you know, holding him there against his will. But it's still a very fun series, very interesting, and I'm still digging it.
Cool.
And yeah. I did read, you jumped ahead to Boom. I have a pre-Boom book.
Oh.
From
how dare you have a pre-Boom book?
From Antarctic Press. This is called Ghost Cop, and it was I was kind of hoping it was a Bill Cosby, like Ghost Dad goes to the police academy, but that's not what happened. It's basically this 1950s cop gets killed in this department store by a serial killer, and his spirit is basically trapped there until the modern times, when for whatever reason this serial killer is reemerged and his spirit, you know, comes out to it's being drawn back out into the real world. And the way that the whole ghost thing works in this universe is that you can only see the ghosts if you've taken somebody else's life. So, for instance, once he gets, like, released from his, you know, ethereal prison inside this place where he was killed, and he heads out into the real world again, he's, you know, going down this back alley, and there's two gang members, you know, yelling at each other back there, and one of them can see him and the other one can't. And that's when he realizes that there's something, you know, about that going on. And he finds this police detective in the modern era who, she's been having these weird dreams about the end of the world and about, you know, apocalypse, and she's seeing visions of snakes raining from the sky and just like all this weird stuff. And she can see him, and she is investigating this new rash of killings and realizes that they're connected to, you know, whatever serial killer killed him in the 50s. And so now she has some sort of vision of him as this ghost somehow being involved in the apocalypse that brings about the end of the world. So there's a lot of weird stuff like all mixed in with this book. And it was interesting because it's so different from everything else that has dealt with ghosts and hauntings and all that kind of stuff. Like, it just has a different vibe to it. The characters feel different. The storyline doesn't feel like they just took, you know, this cop story and this ghost story and mixed them together. Like, it does feel like there's something original going on with it. So I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Where is it? You get a ta-da.
Quick on the draw with those sound effects.
Yeah. All right. So then, did Boom. Next would be, did we any Dark Horse going once?
I don't have the cover for it, but I did read the Hellboy Midnight Circus graphic novel, I guess you'd call it. It's an original story, and it's set with Hellboy as a young demon, you know, on Earth. He's trying to be a little boy, and he's upset that he's not old enough. Like, adults keep having conversations, and they keep, you know, shunting him out because he's not old enough yet to hear this. You know, the grown-ups are talking and whatever. So he sneaks out, runs away one night, and he finds this demonic circus, like, out in this, you know, abandoned field. There's, like, this hobo stopping point where they had, like, this little, you know, like, shanty town, and this demonic circus has kind of taken over, and Hellboy gets drawn in, and the people there understand who Hellboy is and know that he's somehow connected to the end of the world, and that he will be the great, you know, demon king in the future or whatever. But at this point, Hellboy is still a little boy, and they use the story of Pinocchio to try to get him to realize that there's more to him than who he is, trying to get him to, you know, just as Pinocchio wanted to be a real boy, They try to get him to realize that he's more than just this little kid with red skin and horns and a big weird hand, that he should, you know, evolve into something else. But Hellboy just sees it as this idea that he wants to be a real boy. Like, he hates the fact of who he is. He doesn't want to be a demon. He doesn't want to be, you know, connected to hell. He just wants to be a regular little kid. And so there was a fun story with the way that they played off of that. But the thing that was really neat about it is that the artist is, I can't pronounce his name, Duncan Ferrado, Ferdigo, however you pronounce that. He's done a lot of Hellboy stuff over the last few years. And in this story, whenever he's doing the real world, like the adults talking, all the stuff happening at the bureau and all that kind of stuff, it's your regular comic book, drawn, inked, colored. But everything that has to do with this circus and the spirits that are coming to him and everything, it's like he did it in pencil and shaded everything in and blended it together and then did like a color, watercolor wash on top of it. So it does have a very, you know, spiritual realm feel to it. It's very ethereal. It's very, you know, open and airy. And it flips back and forth as they're trying to find him, as the little boy lost, you know, where did he go? And they're trying to hunt him down. And then it'll switch to Hellboy's point of view and everything. It has that, you know, different art style to it. So it's really neat, if nothing else, just to look at the artwork and the things that they did with it. So that's it's a good book, definitely worth a read.
I was on time that time. Okay, so that's it for Dark Horse. DC Comics, where you're going to hear more dirt.
Because you didn't read anything from DC, did you?
No, not yet. I'm about to start next. I'm about to start last week's stack of DC Comics. Oh, we have a tweet I guess I can read beforehand. Dirt Geek is... actually, before that, Roddy Cat, going back to our Netflix and TV show movie discussion, Roddy Cat says, start thinking of the superhero TV shows as the world and movies as the events in the world if Marvel / DC has their way. So that's one way of looking at it. And Dorkika says, the Circus HB story was awesome. Hellboy story was awesome. A.T. Roth is his uncle.
Whose uncle?
Hellboy's, maybe?
Bob's your uncle. I don't know. All right. Well, with DC, we have a whole bunch of zero-year tie-ins, which is the Batman story. In the Batman story, Riddler sets off an EMP and kills the electricity in Gotham City, so the city goes black.
In which story is this?
In Zero Year.
Oh.
So in...
Oh, that's right. You said Joker.
Riddler.
Yeah.
Riddler sets off the EMP, kills all the electricity, and then this giant hurricane is coming in. And so this hurricane is going to, you know, batter the eastern seaboard and... So it's going to, you know, be a big deal in Batman, but because of this giant storm coming, it's having these, ripple effect through the DC universe, and it's going back 6 years, you know, for all these different DC books, back to when the superheroes first appeared on the scene, and all of this stuff is going on when they're, you know, young heroes. And so in Action Comics this week, it's funny because even though this is Action Comics – and even though this is a tie-in for Batman and for Zero Year, this is really Lana Lang's story. This is really the story. Go ahead.
Is this Lana Lang's first appearance in the New 52?
No. She's appeared a couple times, but always small stuff.
The only reason I asked is I remember reading the interview, I think like this week or last week, and Greg Pak was saying something about introducing a new character in Clark's life. I didn't know if he was referring to her or not.
It might be, just because the only time I think she was used before that I can remember is when Clark goes back to his house after his parents have both passed away, and
you know, there's just like a flashback of the two of them at prom, and then the flashback of him, you know, locking up the house and leaving for the last time. But she was never like a central character. She didn't really have a lot. And this is the story that really gives her story. It shows her leaving Smallville to head out into the world. It shows that when this hurricane starts heading towards the eastern seaboard, Superman thinks he's still young at this point. You know, this is still his t-shirt days. He thinks that he can just go out and stop this hurricane, that he can fly around the opposite direction and, you know, make it, you know, have that effect where the hurricane's spinning one way, so he'll spin the other way and make it dissipate. And, of course, it doesn't work. But Lana Lang is on a boat in the middle of the ocean caught in the storm. And so she's trying to save the boat at the same time he's trying to stop the storm. So it's like their paths kind of cross unknowingly, you know, ships in the night, that type of thing. And so this book really kind of showed her character as she's this adventurous person. She wanted more than just being in Smallville. She wanted to go out and see the world and see adventure, and she never gives up, and you know, she fights to the end and all of this kind of stuff. And the funny thing is that they show the thoughts that Clark is having in his head, and he's having pretty much the same thoughts as he's fighting this hurricane. So the characters are closer in this version of the DC universe. The characters are much closer in thought and characterization than they've, you know, ever been in the history of the, you know, DC universe in the past. So I'm thinking that they're going to play on this as time goes forward and bring those two characters closer together in the modern time in the New 52, whereas in the past DC universe, she was always the old girlfriend from back home that once he moved to the big city, you know, he really didn't interact with much anymore.
Sounds like you liked it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good story.
Cool. I'm kind of interested in reading this, and which is new for me because I'm not really the big – well, in the past, I haven't been the big Superman comic reader. So with Batman, Superman, and Superman and Chain, which also came out this week, you know, and Man of Steel movie, I'm giving Superman a chance. What else DC did you read?
Well, there was another Zero Year with Green Arrow. And this one, this is right at the time that Green Arrow returns back to Seattle after being on the island. So nobody knows that he's alive yet. He's still, you know, trying to figure out what's been happening while he was gone and everything. And the storm is hitting Gotham, and his mom, being who she is, has gone to Gotham to try to help, to, you know, bring food and water to the shelters and to make sure the homeless have a place to sleep and all that kind of stuff. And he realizes that she's there, and she refuses to leave because, you know, she's not going to walk out on these people who need help. So he goes to Gotham to try to rescue her and get her out before the storm hits.
But she doesn't know he's alive, right?
Yeah, she doesn't know he's alive. So he actually puts on the hood in an effort to mask his identity so she doesn't know who he is. Because right before he gets there, the Moth makes his first appearance in the DC universe. And he basically wants to hold her for ransom. You know,
okay.
Rich socialite from the other coast is, you know, slumming it in Gotham. And so he's going to use her as leverage to make his big fortune. And this is where Batman comes in because he's young on the scene. This is his, you know, obviously his early days as being Batman. So you get to see Batman and Green Arrow in their first cross with each other. You get to see, what's his name? Is it Diggle? Is that the
yes.
Bodyguard? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's actually a backup story that talks about him and Green Arrow and how they first start working together, how he doesn't want to be part of this like superhero movement, but Green Arrow realizes that there's something within him that he's a soldier. He wants to fight, you know, he wants to protect people. And so there were two stories in this book and they were both really good. And the backup story was actually drawn by Dennis Cowan, I think that's how you pronounce his name, mm-hmm. Who did The Question back in the late 80s, early 90s, did that series with DC. And so I really liked the story, and I liked the artwork in both the main and the backup story. So overall, this was just an excellent issue.
And it's funny, I didn't realize this was the zero-year tie-in week.
Yeah, this is where it starts.
So with that, maybe I can, if I get through last week's stuff, probably I can get this. These zero-year tie-ins should be quick reads for me.
Let's see. What else?
What else?
We had Hinterkind, number two. I actually went back and read the first issue and then sat down to read the second issue. And this is a post-apocalyptic story. You're not really sure what wiped out humanity, but this is the remains of humanity. They live in wooden shacks in the middle of Central Park, and all the buildings are covered with plants and ivy, and there are lions that, you know, roam the streets of New York City, and all of that kind of Army of the 12 Monkeys type stuff. And because humanity has been hurt and humanity has kind of fallen out of control of the earth, basically the ogres and the trolls and the pixies and the elves and all of these things start coming back. But the difference is that now that humanity isn't in control, they want to be in control, and they're all just basically cannibal jerks. It's the only way I can think to describe it. They want to eat all the humans. They want to wipe out all the humans forever and take back over the earth. And it was an interesting story. Like, I love post-apocalyptic fiction for whatever reason. I guess I'm just weird in that way. But I don't know. I was a little disappointed in the sense that it was pixies and trolls and ogres suddenly climbing back out now that humanity is kind of wiped away. I guess the zombie thing has really kind of taken a hold on me. So, you know, I mean, it was all right. The story was well told. But I just don't know that this is a series that I'm going to stick with. You know, I'm just,
is it a limited series? I was kind of trying to read the cover there. So it looked like it said two of something.
No, it just says 2 January 14.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's an ongoing. Okay. So, I mean, it's all right, but not necessarily my cup of tea.
Whoops.
There we go. But was that a spoiler? I didn't realize.
No spoilers. That is the spoiler music, isn't it?
Let's see. We had Detective with their zero-year tie-in. This one centering on Commissioner Gordon and his early days on the force. And I mean, the story was really, it's just a Gordon story. I think Batman just makes the slightest appearance at one point.
Batman was busy.
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of stuff going on. But I mean, this was just, Gordon dealing with the crooked cops of the Gotham City PD, and it just kind of gives you the idea of what he really had to deal with and how bad it was at the time that Batman, you know, first emerged, and how he starts to, rely on Batman, and how he realizes he can depend on him, you know, versus trying to do it all himself. So, I mean, it's a character study for Gordon, if that's what you're looking for, you know. I mean, it was all right, but just wasn't anything special.
Same artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. We have Batwing, which was another zero year.
Batwing.
And this one, it had the potential. It started out good enough, but it basically turned into Batwing has his own Bane now.
Oh, they introduced a new villain?
Yeah, it's a new villain, and it's a guy who's a friend of Lucius Fox in school, and he's getting bullied. And
friend of Luke or Lucius?
Luke, I'm sorry. Lucius is the dad. Luke is the son. He's a friend of Luke's at school, and he's getting bullied, and he hates being there. And so he finds this Mexican drug that he takes the Mexican drug, and it makes him big and bulky and super strong and powerful. And he decides he's going to be a villain and destroy everybody. So, I mean,
can't just take a drug and then want to do good in the world.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I don't know. Like, it started out fine, but once they revealed, like, his villain identity and he's just basically Bane, he's just a guy who takes this synthetic drug and it pumps him up and makes him, you know, 7.5 feet tall and built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And it's like, oh, I think I've seen that character, you know? So I was a little disappointed in that one.
Okay.
We had Forever Evil, which continues the story of what happens with all the bad guys when the Justice League disappears. And this one, it explains how Batman escaped.
Oh, before you get on all that, I will say I have read Justice League of America 24, 25, whatever the last one that came out. The Justice League of America and Justice League Dark. So I'm all caught up on those. So I know what's going on now.
You know about the Otherworld prison and everything?
Yeah, from Justice League of America. And like, they're all asleep and something going on. But I was going to say, I remember seeing a cool image of Black Adam starting to fight Ultraman. And I was like, what book was that in? I was like, wasn't The Last Forever Evil? I was like, oh, yeah, I read all the Justice League books finally. So, yeah.
So, basically, Lex Luthor is putting together his team of villains that are going to stand up to the crime syndicate, because basically, even though they are bad guys, they don't want the other bad guys running everything, you know? So it's
want to run everything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's turning into a turf war. And so you're starting to see these villains come together to fight. And then, like I said, you find out what happened to Batman and why he was able to escape. So it also kind of explains a little bit better Power Ring, who is the villain version of Green Lantern, kind of how his ring works and how his powers work. And it is, you know, different. Obviously, Green Lantern uses the willpower. This is something different with him, the way it uses his anxiety in order to give him power. So basically, the ring is evil, and it looks for someone it can dominate and use their fear and anxiety to power. So kind of interesting how it explains him. And I'm, you know, artwork is beautiful, David Finch, and the story's fun. I like seeing the villains as the anti-heroes versus the other villains.
Yeah, I am enjoying that aspect of it. I guess I keep going back to Mandus has been going on forever. Feels like it's been going on forever.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's a 7-part series, so it's got to run 7 months.
And then add on the Trinity War.
Yeah, which was
a month or 2 months.
2 months, yeah.
And then a break. And then it was a month of villains books.
And then, well, it's like this month you're getting all the Batman Zero Year tie-ins. So I'm wondering if next month is going to be some other type of tie-in with the monthly books. I should check on that.
It's like basically, so we had a 7-issue series, a Villains Month, 8, 2 months of Trinity War. That's 8 months. Wait, my math's wrong. Let's see, 7.
Well, yeah, but 8, Forever Evil.
That's 10. So basically, a whole year will involve the Trinity War, Forever Evil stuff.
Yeah.
And then I guess I didn't put this in the news, but supposedly there's more rumors of the 5 years later. It's going to be the 2014 event.
Yeah, which I'm interested to know if that is, like, they're going to jump ahead to show you a glimpse of 5 years and then go back, or if it's going to be, you know, like they did with 1 year later, where everything just jumps ahead and there you go. You know, that's just how it is. Which, I mean, technically they already did that with the first month of the New 52 was you had the Justice League coming together for the first time, and then all the other DC books when they rolled out were 5 years later. So
after the fact.
Yeah. So they've kind of done that.
That would be interesting to see. And I guess I might as well take it as fact that 5 years later thing's going to happen, since was it Dan Dito had all these different
The logos for it, like hanging up on his wall. So,
I need to go back and actually watch that video. I think I bookmarked it to watch later.
Let's see. We have the new Green Lantern this week.
The aftermath of
Lights Out,
which I have caught up on and finished. So I can add little bits here and there to the DC portion. So, I finished the Green Lantern Lights Out crossover. I enjoyed Green Lantern Annual Number 2, the art. Whoever the artist was real nice. I feel like there was nothing. I feel like at the end of Lights Out, nothing really changed. Yes, they found out that their power source is not infinite. It will end one day, but besides that,
it set up a bunch of stuff. Like it didn't. It wasn't necessarily the.
It wasn't a game change. I guess in a way it was a game changer, but
that's the
way I'm thinking of.
It's where I think, Lights Out in the long run. Lights Out is the story where all the cracks start to appear, and everything starts kind of snowballing off in these different directions. I mean, you've got Guy Gardner deciding he wants to stay a Red Lantern, and the Red Lantern's getting control of their own sector of space. And
there's no Blue Lanterns anymore, so Guy couldn't be pulled out anyway.
And Oa explodes.
Mo goes to home base of the Green Lanterns.
And Kyle Rayner is apparently dead.
Spoilers.
Well, it's a book that came out last week. People should have read it by now.
I was going to say they actually think he's dead. He's not actual dead.
Too bad. But in this book, basically what happens is Hal Jordan decides that because of everything that happened in Lights Out, that the role of the Green Lanterns has to change. And instead of being just this kind of random police force, they actually need to police the use of the lantern energies, whether it be green or red or purple or whatever. And so they're going to find anybody who's using the power incorrectly or using the power what they feel is illegally, and they're going to stop them and try to control them or imprison them or somehow get the power away from them so that they aren't tapping into this cosmic energy and using it up when it doesn't need to be, or using it in a way that it shouldn't be used. So they're kind of changing the role of the Green Lanterns in that way. And he decides that he's going to go after a rogue Star Sapphire. And so they find this one Star Sapphire who I'm assuming appeared at some point earlier in the series. But since I haven't been reading everything Green Lantern for the past 5 years, I'm not exactly sure. But Star Sapphire's, their power comes from their love. And she loves her people. It just turns out that all of her people are drug runners and pimps and gun runners and, basically dirtbags.
Pimps.
Yeah, basically. But she loves them. It's her tribe. It's her clan, whatever. So she loves them and wants to protect them. So she gets a Star Sapphire ring because she has such an affection for her people. It just turns out that her people are dirtbags. And so they decide, he grabs Kilowog and decides that they're going to go and she's going to be their first target and be the example that they're going to set in the universe. So this is, starting that change that you see in Lights Out kind of going forward, where the role of the Green Lantern is changing.
So this will be, this will be the story that, two or three years later, you have to go back and reference Lights Out, where it all started.
Yeah, where everything changed.
Okay.
And then I guess my last DC will be Batman Superman 5.
Oh, look at that cover.
Okay, wait. Look at this cover for a second. Do you notice anything different about it?
This is the highly touted horizontal issue?
Yes. This entire book is sideways.
So you have to turn it horizontal and read it.
Yeah, they called it widescreen at one point. Okay. I was reading an interview that it was the widescreen format book, which I have to say, if you're reading it like on a tablet or something, I guess that's fine because you can turn the tablet. But as a print book, this sucks because because the problem is when you unfold the book here, let me shut this down for a second. Go back to the regular camera. All right. So
get that out of the way.
So you got the comic. So you got to turn it this way. And then so you fold it up to read it. So the problem is that when you want to read the top part here, it's like this page is it's like in your way. Because the book wants to sit like this, and you're constantly like, you want to read up here, and this thing's flapping around on you, and you want to kind of fold it, get it out of the way or something, and then you want to read this one, and it's like I'm trying to read this page, you know? It's like, go, like, it just felt...
If they're going to do it in that manner, they should have tried to change the...
Well, and not only that, but it's like, it's not as if... This is all one page. It's this is a page, and this is a page.
I mean, that seems so, simple enough.
Well, but you're reading up here, and you're not supposed to be paying attention to what's happening down here. You know, kind of like when you have the two-page thing. But the problem is, it looks like it's all, you know, because you're used to reading in that format. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of times when it looks like you're something. Looks like it's drawing your eye this direction, like you're supposed to be reading, like this all looks like one panel or something, and you're, you know, it just, to me, it was just painful to try to read it that way. So I'm just not, I hope this is one of those, like, one-time experiments where they're like, hey, we're doing something fun, just to be different, and okay, that's great, go back to the normal way now, please.
Yeah, hopefully it was just a one-month trial.
Because if they end up doing that for like 3 or 4 months, I'm going to be really upset. Because, but the story is basically that Mongol, the leader of Warworld, wants to use video games in order to turn all the teenagers of Earth into his army. And basically take like these giant fighting robots... And everybody thinks they're playing a video game, but in fact, they're actually fighting against the heroes on Earth. And so that's, you know, not entirely original. But, I mean, I think South Park has done episodes of that. But
is this the Mongol introduction to the New 52? Or do we not know?
I know he was in Villains Month.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a Green Lantern Villain Month.
Yeah, I think he was in the Green Lantern books before this.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think they defeated him and sent him back, and so this is his revenge on Earth. So it's, you know, the fighting is video games, and I'm sure there's some sort of commentary on that, but whatever.
Okay.
All right, so I think that's it for DC.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that, for those reviews. Let me there we go.
Avatar. Avatar this week put out the final issue of Absolution Rubicon, which is the sequel to the Absolution series that came out in I think 2009. And in this one, Jonathan Dusk is the name of the guy who was a police officer that had superpowers, and he was sick of the dirtbags getting away with, you know, they get to be villains. So he starts killing the villains. And once he gets found out, he goes rogue and leaves the police department. And this follow-up series, he's taken a small neighborhood, and he's made the neighborhood under his protection. And he tells the police to stay out. He tells... other villains to stay out, and he's cleaning up, and there's this really super bad guy who is basically let go by the mayor in the hopes that this bad guy will kill John Dusk. And then once he kills him, then, the villain is free to leave and do whatever he wants. But the villain is so bad that he can't contain himself. And so he's killing people indiscriminately, and he's still going nuts. And so Dusk has to, try to find a way to kill him. And so, without spoiling everything in the series, the way that they conclude this storyline, him versus the big villain and finally figuring out how to destroy him and how to stop him really isn't the finale of the series and really isn't the point, because he defeats him and then there's still like half the issue to go. And what the issue really comes down to is his kind of relationship with all these people that he left behind, his old girlfriend, who's a non-superhero member of the police department, the other superhero members of the police department, all these people that he used to trust and, used to work with, and now they kind of realize that, they can't stop him. He's more powerful than they thought, and he's a better fighter than they thought, and they don't really want to get into this prolonged war, but of course they don't agree with what he's doing, going out and killing everybody, and it kind of has to do with the idea of what's the greater good, someone like the Punisher when he runs into a guy like Daredevil, mm-hmm. Except this takes it to the extreme where, Punisher shoots some mafia guys. This guy will, find the drug running pedophile and stick, spikes through his eyeballs and stuff like that. So it took those kind of storylines that Marvel or DC will kind of touch on, but then takes it to that, modern era nth level where everything is much bloodier and more foul and disgusting and just kind of amp it up a little bit. So I enjoy the series. And one of the things that I enjoy about it is that none of these superheroes are really analogs of anybody else. Nobody is like the Batman of this world. Nobody's really the Superman of this world. All the characters are original and fresh, and storyline was really good. And now that it's over, you can sit down and read the 5 issues in one big chunk. And I think you'd probably blow through it in an afternoon. It's not, too terribly in depth, but it is a good story.
Okay. Any dynamites?
No.
I don't see any My Little Pony from IDW, so even though a hardcover I see came out. Transformers Dark Cybertron #1.
Yeah, I haven't caught up on the regular series yet. So I've got this in my to-read pile. But I'm still several months behind on the regular.
Is this something different?
Well, they've been running 2 different Transformers series. They've got Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye are the 2 different right. series. So what this one is, there's the cover. What this one does is it's basically taking those 2 different series and kind of weaving them back together in this storyline.
Okay. All right. So keep an eye out for that, people.
Yeah.
Okay. Image Comics. I know you read at least 1 book from them.
I read
Alex and Ada.
Yep. This is Jonathan Luna is the guy who wrote this and did the artwork, and then I think Sarah Vaughn did the colors on it, maybe. But he's done books like Ultra and The Sword and other Girls was a series he did in the past. Each one is, completely different from what came before. And this one is completely different from his other series. And it's basically in the future when technology, is more a common part of our lives. He's single. He works most of the time. He doesn't really have time for a lot of you know, personal relationships and free time and whatever. So when his birthday comes, his grandma wants to get him a present. And so she buys him an Android girlfriend.
Thanks, Grandma.
Yeah, exactly. Because, well, because Grandma
weird science.
Grandma has an Android boyfriend that she really loves.
Oh.
So Grandma gets him an Android girlfriend.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. The first issue, you know, the Android girlfriend doesn't really appear until, like, the final, you know, five pages or whatever. So the book is really kind of centered around, you see how the technology works in the future. There are people who have implants in them that allow them to communicate with their thoughts and to run their technology with their thoughts. And there are other people that, you know, they don't go that far. They don't want to have the implants, but they're not really against it. You know, it's just kind of, I've got an iPhone, I've got an Android, I've got the implant, you know, just kind of one of those types of things. The idea of having an Android girlfriend for him, it's like one of those things that society says is okay, and it's not that big of a deal, but he's just kind of weirded out by the idea, you know? So you do get these conversations about things that society approves of and whether or not it's really okay for society in the long run, and whether or not, you know, some of these things are just going to end up as a fad or if it's really a change in society. And you also get to see the coffee maker of the future and the little floating hovercraft that brings you the hot cup and the holographic TVs and, you know, all that kind of neat stuff that happens in the futuristic world. But I thought it was just an interesting kind of take on that story. Like you said, there's that new TV show coming, Almost Human, mm-hmm. about the android that's very realistic. And this is kind of going along those same lines, but taking it in a weird, different direction. So it's definitely interesting. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Oh, let me get my sound. Let's see. I know I'm going to read East of West, number 7, and Ghosted, number 5. I still have Ghosted 4 to read, and Morning Glory is 33 to read, but 34 came out this week. And Protectors, Inc., number 1, a new number 1 from J. Michael Straczynski's imprint. Did I forget the name of it?
Joe's Comics.
Yes.
It's what, Sidekick? Is
so I was going to say Sidekicks, and is it 10 grand?
Is 10 grand part of that?
There's another book part of it. It might not be 10 grand.
Yeah, it's 10 grand.
Ooh, I'm good. Yes. Ten Grand Number 5 came out. Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I flipped through this, you know, on the rack and just kind of thumbed through it kind of real quick, but mm-hmm. it didn't really catch my eye. So
yeah, it might not catch mine either, but I figure I'm liking Sidekicks, and I tried 10 Grand. Actually, I just kind of gave up on 10 Grand. It actually looked like a decent book after the first issue, but kind of the horror genre doesn't really do anything for me, so...
Yeah.
Reality Check number 3 or 4 came out also. Okay. Marvel stuff I can talk about. We had the debut of Amazing X-Men number 1, which I reviewed on theclicknation.com, so go read that. And it's also up on popculturenetwork.com.
There you go. You so know,
this...
I read this, but I mean, I guess because I haven't read a ton of X-Men over the last few years, mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't get into it. Like, I don't know. It just didn't really do anything for me.
I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. It was just like kind of a introductory book. It reintroduced us to Kurt Wagner, aka Nightcrawler. It showed us who our main threat is going to be, and it introduced the Jean Grey School and the teachers who are going to be involved in this first arc, and Firestar, who's joining the cast. And we sort of got to see the school through her eyes. And
yeah.
It was just, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't It wasn't like amazing.
Yes, that's true. It's the non-amazing Amazing X-Men number one.
I enjoyed the art was nice. The colors were bright and vibrant.
It's the average Amazing X-Men number one.
My problem was I didn't understand why everyone was screaming. When I say everyone, I mean when they got to the portion of the book that took place on campus. Everyone was screaming. Like every sentence ended in an exclamation mark. And this was like this was conversations between just the faculty.
Because school is crazy.
Yeah, so much stuff's going on. I guess I could use another ringtone besides that one. So that's Amazing X-Men. You read Cataclysm, The Ultimate's Last Stand, number one of five.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of struck by something when I read this, because for the last several months, everyone's been talking about how the Ultimate Universe is going to wrap up and how it's going to end and, you know, the rumors. And this is all rumors. You know, we don't know any of this for sure, but the rumors seem to be that it's all going to go away forever. But I'm kind of wondering, as I read this, if, in fact, this is the story of the death of Galactus.
Finally getting rid of him.
Yeah, like I'm kind of – I don't feel like this is really the end. I mean, obviously Galactus comes to Earth and it's a big deal. And one of the things that it talks about is I think it was Vision in the last issue. She gets a glimpse of the universe where Galactus comes from. And in that universe, you know, the heroes are strong and pure and bold, and you can have the Avengers and the Fantastic Four come together in order to fight back Galactus, whereas in their universe, all the characters are flawed, and, you know, a lot of them are alcoholics and, you know, egotistical, and, you know, Mr. Fantastic is a super villain. And, you know, how their universe just kind of pales in comparison to the regular universe. But as Galactus comes to fight, of course, everyone steps up to the plate and finds – it's like they're finding the hero within. It's like before this, there's been so much infighting and so much, you know, ego play against each other and you know, now it's like they're starting to actually unite as a group of superheroes. And I'm kind of wondering if this is kind of marking the end of that kind of failed hero, that kind of anti-hero.
The heroes spend more time finding each other than the villain.
Right. Like, because they wrapped up the war in X-Men.
Maybe keep going.
Well, in Ultimates, they had a civil war. And the Avengers, or the Ultimates, brought the world back together after the Civil War. Ultimate Spider-Man, he quit being Spider-Man. He gave up being the hero. And now, because of this threat, he comes back to being Spider-Man. And so I kind of get this idea that they're kind of cleaning up the Ultimate Universe. That what we're going to get on the other side of this story is kind of like the pure classic heroes, like it's the heroic age for the Ultimate Universe.
Marvel Now, Ultimate Comics.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's what they're doing, is in effect kind of cleaning house and resetting the Ultimate Universe, and this may be the actual death of Galactus and the end of him.
They can relaunch the Ultimate line with new number ones, add maybe an extra book to the line. You know, do Ultimate, Spider-Man, X-Men, and whatever franchise they want to give a life to in the Ultimate Universe.
Maybe it'll be Ultimate Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's a possibility. Actually, I like that theory. It would be kind of nice if it came true. And I'd be glad if they actually got rid of Galactus, because for a world eater, he doesn't eat too many worlds, does he?
Well, there's a lot of worlds.
Or any that matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, the universe is a big place. I mean, he could go eat the other side of the universe, and you wouldn't know for a long time, right?
Yeah.
It would take 20 billion years before the light from that side of the universe came to this side of the universe, so you wouldn't even know. But, yeah, he is one of those big, goofy characters from the past that, maybe it's this. It's time for him to go.
Yeah.
So that's my rumor and speculation. Probably 100% wrong, but
speculation hour. Let's see. I read Longshot saves the Marvel Universe number 1 of 4, which it kind of left me like Amazing X-Men. And it's like, okay, they introduce Longshot, give a quick synopsis of his origin. You spend some time with him. There's some other people, I guess, co-star like Iron Man and Mr. Fantastic, even though they don't interact with Longshot in the book. You see your villain, and you see what threat he poses to Longshot, a guy that has luck powers, as they're explained. My only gripe with the book was it seemed like there was a lot of, if you were like a New Yorker, you'd love this book, because there was a whole bunch of like the first half, like the first 3/4 of the book felt like it was nothing but you take the L train to get to this side of town to Brooklyn, or you take this to get to this Staten Island borough. It was a whole bunch of talking points of like traveling around the New York area. Cause,
so this is like Agent 70's book of the week.
Yeah, because Reed and Iron Man and Tony have to take something, I forget, some wacky device to some other location, and they're doing it undercover in like some big diesel truck, and they're trying to get the truck to this one location, and there's all these roadblocks set up. So like every page is like someone stopping them saying, no, you have to take this is closed, you have to take this tunnel to here, and blah blah. I'm like, I don't care about all this. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I started to read it, and I read, you know, some guy gets lucky and the villain kills him thinking he might be Longshot, but he's not. And Longshot gets like the worst haircut in the world, but he gets it for free. You know, it's like all that kind of stuff. But the tone of the book is very lighthearted.
And, which was nice.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. I guess
Dirt doesn't like happy books. He likes the Walking Dead, and what's the other one?
Yeah, not enough bloody entrails in this book.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'm known as the superhero guy on the show. So I own it. If you want more of a fun-natured book, read some Valiant. Read Quantum and Woody and Archer and Armstrong. That's my advice. And that's all I've read. Yeah, that's all I read from Marvel this week. I'm going to try that Painkiller Jane, The Price of Freedom, imprint.
I flipped through it, and I don't know. It's not the book for me. I'll just say that. It's not the book for me.
It might not be for me either, but I'll at least know after flipping through it, a.k.a. reading it.
I don't know. I think if you're a fan of Fearless Defenders, it's probably going to be the book for you, but...
Okay, I might like it then. So
you didn't read Mighty Avengers?
No, I didn't get to it in time. Hmm. I'm assuming you didn't.
No, I haven't read the. I read the first one, but I haven't read number two.
I'm actually semi enjoying the book. Greg Land's art isn't offending me like I thought it would. Seems like he's a better fit on this than Iron Man for some reason. So I think because there's more stuff going on here than in Iron Man, at least the first three issues of Iron Man I read that he was doing the art on. Because that was a lot of like people standing around, which gave him a lot of time to add his photo referencing.
Yeah, faces. The silly faces.
Yeah, silly faces to everyone in conversation. It's like he does better in action.
Yeah.
And... anything else from this week? I didn't get to any of the Valiant books, even though I gave them a shout out. Yeah, Quantum Woody number 5 started a new arc with Ming Doyle on art.
Who's Ming Doyle?
She I think she did art on some other like kind of high profile Image book. Can't remember. Let me look her up on Twitter real quick.
The other thing, I guess, to note is that the Mad Magazine issue of Duck Dynasty is out. So,
that's the cover I saw with the Duck Dynasty beard people.
Yeah. So
your kinfolk.
And Mad Magazine owned by DC Comics, in case you didn't know. So technically, this is a DC book.
I did not know that.
Oh.
That's it for this week's books.
Oh, you didn't read the new Iron Man?
No, it's a. So I'm going on taking a little mini vacation. So I've got the iPad queued up with a whole bunch of stuff to read.
Yeah, I glanced at this just quick enough to see that this is set in the future. This is like 25 years in the future.
Oh.
So it may be one of those stories where
they plant seeds.
Maybe, but it could also be one of those stories where in the long run it just doesn't matter, you know, because they do that a lot.
That's going to be my that'll be my guess.
But it had some neat kind of Art Deco 1920s design work done in it, and the title work on the like opening pages of it looks like something out of the old 1920s, like roaring 20s type stuff. It looks like New York in the future is cleaned up and just like you had in the 20s, all the rich part of society live like that ultimate kind of lifestyle. It looks like 25 years in the future, it's kind of doing that again. So it looks like that's part of the storyline behind it.
Man, there's so many books from this week I want to read, like right now.
When are you going on your vacation?
Where?
Well, when?
Oh, actually, it doesn't. Like, I'm doing something this weekend, but then the vacation portion actually starts. I guess you caught the vacation Wednesday.
So, wait, vacation, does that just mean you're.
Like, I'm going somewhere.
Oh, you are going somewhere. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm going to a wedding, attend someone's wedding. So, I mean, I'm not going to be here. So, I count that. All I don't know is I'm off work for a week.
A whole week?
A whole week, even though I actually won't leave until like next week. I just took the whole week. I said, forget it. Need my me time.
So, Monday and Tuesday is when you're going to do all your reading?
Actually, I'm going to try to do reading tomorrow. I'm going to do some Monday and Tuesday is going to be moving furniture because I'm going to get some furniture from a family member. So, yeah, we'll be squeezing some reading in. And you need to update the Marvel stuff for next week.
Yeah, I know. I need to get on that. All right, let me real quick flip over to that.
I do want to shout out some stuff coming out next week that I'm hopefully going to have time to read this week and write reviews for Wednesday. Unity number one comes out next week from Valiant, their big Avengers-style book team-up. And Fred Van Lente, or it was Van Lent, not sure how you pronounce his last name, he sent out review copies of his new Action Presidents, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah, I saw that tweet.
Yeah, so I sent him an email, said, hey, send me a review copy, which he did.
It looks like what we have on deck, we have all new X-Men, A+X, ooh. Avengers Arena, Avengers. Is that Avengers? No, it's not Avengers. Hold on.
Is this the review stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So all new X-Men, A+X, Avengers Arena, Deadpool. Let's see.
Oh, Superior on there?
Yeah, there's Fearless Defenders. Hold on, I'm going down the list, man. Back off. Fearless Defenders, Marvel Knights X-Men, Savage Wolverine, Superior Spider-Man, Superior Foes of Spider-Man, Thor, God of Thunder, and regular Wolverine.
So. Okay, so a lot of stuff to read. It's funny, like I make time, I do my best to make sure to read the Marvel stuff early.
Except this week.
Since at least usually get it like a week or two ahead of time. So yeah. I'm trying to make, stay current with Marvel since that's my wheelhouse.
If I was on the ball, these would already be ready to go, and I'd be working on the books for the next week right now.
You called me a slacker.
But with I think the week before Halloween, I got tripped up with a bunch of stuff, and so now I'm trying to catch up.
A.K.A. So. You were in a candy coma?
Yeah, before Halloween. Yeah, I was got into the stash a little early.
I always hate when Marvel has these big weeks where there's like eight books there that I want to read. Especially when all new X-Men, Superior Spider-Man, and Avengers all come out in the same week, which is every 2 weeks.
Well, this is Avengers Arena, not Avengers. So, I mean.
Oh, I thought you said Avengers. Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's an Avengers book. Here's the weird thing. Like Marvel sometimes has these glitches.
Oh, where, so it might be for the next week.
Well, they do this thing sometimes where they say a book is available, and then you go to get the book, and it's just the cover.
Oh.
And so you don't know if it's a mistake, and they forgot to like unlock the book, so you get the whole book, or if it's they put the link early, you know, and the book isn't ready yet, you know. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, Avengers actually it might be coming out because Avengers 22 I think came out last week. So I guess we'll see. Yeah. Whatever. It'd be nice if DC had some system set up like that.
Yeah, they're real weird. Because sometimes I'll get a book in the mail, like an actual print copy, like the day before it hits the stands.
Hmm.
And so, whereas Marvel, you know, you get everything electronically. IDW's electronically, Boom's electronically, Image is electronically. But yeah, DC, I don't know if I'm on the wrong mailing list or what, but it's just like
random, the Stone Age,
I guess. But every so often I get like a FedEx package and there's one DC book and I get it on Tuesday. The book comes out on Wednesday and they spent, you know, like $13 to FedEx the book.
Overnight it to you.
Yeah, instead of just emailing a PDF, you know, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe the move to Burbank will fix that.
Maybe it will. It would be kind of nice. It'd give me a chance to actually read stuff ahead of time, which is always the problem of doing the show, like the day after books come out.
Yeah, but you got to read. Like, there's so much stuff. It's like I got to read so much stuff to catch up to read the stuff in advance. You know, that's part of the problem too.
The hard life of the comic reviewer.
I know, boy, it's tough.
And I'm trying to get on a Dynamite list.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, never know. There might be a book 1 week I want to try out.
Hey, when Voltron comes out, Voltron Robotech, I'm definitely going to be all over that one.
Nice. So, all right, so now it's plug time. It's in plugging our social media accounts. If you're watching on the video portion of the podcast, you see I'm at TimDogg98 and at TheClickNation. PCN_dirt is Dirt's Twitter handle. Agent 70, who's not here, his is at Agent_70. And Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat, RoddyKat. I think it's KT.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there was two T's at the end. And he also has his news nerd site, I think it's called.
News Nerds Need?
Yes. News Nerds Need. And that's the Twitter account, at News Nerd Need. Yeah. It's hard to say. So there you have it. So, like I mentioned, we're going to be, unless my podcasting cohorts decide to do a show next week, stay tuned. Follow their Twitter accounts, and they'll tweet out the link if they do it, so you can watch. Or we'll see you in 2 weeks. So until then, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off. And let's see. Which one is it?